Last time the Ravens were in London, they lost very badly to the Jacksonville Jaguars, a moment that many Ravens fans remember. Not this time. The Ravens defeat the Tennessee Titans 24-16, and all is good with the Baltimore Ravens right now. Welcome to the Ravens Talk Podcast. I'm your host, Samuel Njoku. Today, we're going to talk all about the Ravens' win against those Tennessee Titans. We'll look a little back on those Pittsburgh Steelers because the Ravens did lose to them the week prior. And we'll look ahead to a pivotal matchup against the Detroit Lions in Week 7. But first, we talk about the Ravens' win in London. They get it done, 24-16. The Tennessee Titans made a game of it. I mean, let's give them their credit. They're a great football team. Ryan Tannehill did get injured near the end of the game, but it didn't really matter. The Ravens had this under control. But there were things that I saw that I didn't really like. Of course, you'll take the win if you're a Ravens fan, but it's week six, now week seven. And there's some things that I saw from the offense that has me scratching my head a little bit. But let's move it back. Let's move back a little bit because we need to talk about that Pittsburgh Steelers game. Last week, I wasn't available. I was in Crab Corner for the game. Thank you for those Ravens fans who came and watched as the Ravens unfortunately lost to the Pittsburgh Steelers 17-10. And the offense really struggled. Now, a lot of that had to do with the Ravens receivers. They dropped passes. They didn't look in sync. There were pivotal, huge touchdown grabs dropped by Rashad Bateman, Nelson Agholor. And I thought that might make its way into London. I thought that the Ravens receivers wouldn't be able to shake that off, but back to norm. You know, the Steelers got their win against Lamar Jackson. You know Lamar Jackson struggles to get the dub against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I'm not going to blame Lamar for that because Lamar really, right now for those drops, had a masterful performance. I mean, really, top five best performances I've ever seen from Lamar if it were not for those drops. So I'm not really going to sit here and criticize Lamar for that loss against Pittsburgh, and we move ahead to the Tennessee Titans. You know, we think, well, how are the Ravens going to come back from that? Not only did they just lose to their hated rival in the Pittsburgh Steelers, but now they have to travel across the pond all the way to London to face the Tennessee Titans team who has some history with the Ravens. If you guys don't know, the Ravens were in the AFC Central prior to the split of the division. There's some heated rivalries with Eddie George and Ray Lewis. The Tennessee Titans beat the Ravens in the playoffs in that magical 2019 season. When Lamar Jackson won that MVP trophy, many thought that the Ravens were going to pick up their third Super Bowl. But the Titans had something to say about that. Move forward a little bit. Tennessee Titans against the Ravens in the playoffs. Again, this time the Ravens get the win. In fact, I believe is Lamar Jackson's only playoff win ever in his career. Some stomping in the middle of the field against the emblem, whatever you want to call it. And so there's some heat between these two teams that made its way onto the field in London. But the Ravens pick up the win. Astonishing performance from the defense. I believe the Ravens are ranking either second or first in every pivotal statistical category in the National Football League on defense. Their defense is playing lights out. Jadeveon Clowney, a menace. What an addition the Ravens brought in with Jadeveon Clowney. Kyle Hamilton, more of the same. He was ejected, unfortunately, because of a hit to the helmet that I believe should have been flagged for sure. I think even John Harbaugh agrees with that sentiment, but the ejection, not so much. Not too fond of that, but Kyle Hamilton has been playing lights out. Marlon Humphrey slowly coming back into the fold as far as the Ravens defense is concerned, and there's just playmakers throughout the defense. That's not what we thought. You know, we've been on this show since August. For those of you who have been here since the beginning know that I've been tooting the horn of the offense for the majority of the season. It was the defense that had me a little concerned, but my how the tables have turned. The tables have 100% turned. The defense is carrying this team while the offense slowly tries to pick it up, tries to pick up the pieces, if you will. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about the offense because we mentioned a little bit about the Pittsburgh Steelers, but in that Tennessee Titans game, the Ravens left a lot on the field. I mean, last time we were here, we were touting the Ravens offense as being one of the best, if not the best in the red zone for sure. 80% conversion rate, tops in the league. Not so much now. We're converting field goals. In the Pittsburgh Steelers game, we were getting stopped on fourth down. So lots and lots of things that we need to alleviate if you're a Ravens official, coach, player, what have you, because this offense has potential, but they're leaving a lot to be desired on the football field for sure. Now, let's give some credence. Let's give some blessings to the offense and let them mold themselves for it. Because if you don't know, this is a new offense. Greg Roman's gone. Todd Monken's in. And we have lots of time for this Ravens offense to figure it out. But the Ravens don't have time. This isn't the MLB. This isn't the NBA. There are only 17 games in the regular season. You have 17 chances to stamp your way into the playoffs. Now, the Ravens have done okay. They're 4-2. Can't ask for better than that. I mean, in my opinion, they should be 6-0, but you'll take 4-2, way better than being 0-6. I mean, there aren't any undefeated teams in the National Football League. The Dolphins fell. The 49ers fell. The Eagles have fallen. So, not everybody wins. And those offenses, especially in San Francisco, losing against the Browns, that offense did not look impressive. So it's very difficult, especially in the early goings of the season, to really hold your own on the offensive side of the ball. And you really want to hold on to your defense or other factors, special teams, to really help pick up the win. It's really a team game. But as we move on late into the season, the Chiefs aren't going to be pedestrian forever. Okay? They're not. The Dolphins aren't going to be pedestrian forever. The Bengals, you're seeing it now. They're starting to rear things up. They're getting themselves together. They're not going to be pedestrian forever. So the Ravens are really playing with fire when it comes to this offense. They have time. They're giving themselves a cushion right now. They're number one in the AFC North. The Steelers, of course, had a bye week, so they didn't play. And the Browns and Bengals both won. Browns won big. Bengals won against the Seahawks. Big win. So now is the time for the offense to get it together. I see flashes. I'm not going to critique this offense too much. I'm very optimistic, Sam. You know, back in the day, back in the late 2010s, you guys know I'm as pessimistic as they come, but I'm going to give a little room for Monken to work with, a little room for Lamar Jackson to grow with Odell Beckham and Zay Flowers, who, by the way, finally got his first touchdown grab against the Tennessee Titans after 6 weeks of playing, in my opinion, very good football, finally reaches into the end zone. So, yeah, let's give the Ravens some space, okay? The 4-2 and a big game coming against the Lions, which we'll talk about soon enough, but big win against the Tennessee Titans, a game that they had to win because, like we mentioned, the Browns, they won. The Bengals, they won. The Steelers already have the tiebreaker because they won the week prior. So, huge, huge win on the road of roads. It doesn't get any more roader than London, right? You're 6 hours ahead of your own time. So big kudos to the Baltimore Ravens for getting that win in London. Before we talk about the Detroit Lions, let's talk a little more about the offense because there is a couple of players who I do want to talk about who I believe have been a little shaky. First up is Rashad Bateman. Now, in my opinion, Rashad Bateman and Lamar Jackson, if you ask him in the offseason, is the number one receiver. Does he look like the number one receiver? Does Rashad Bateman look like the number one receiver to anybody right now? No. He's been struggling. And he's been going back and forth with the fans. I've seen a couple of tweets he liked on social media talking about how pretty much he's damned if he does, he damned if he doesn't. I mean, sure. But he's struggling. He's struggling, and he needs to make a name for himself pronto. The offense, you're going to give him some room to get himself together. But Rashad Bateman needs to be numero uno on the list of players to get their act together and in a hurry. Why? Contract situation. You have Zay Flowers, a young bud receiver who's making an impact immediately. More so than any receiver I've ever seen for the Baltimore Ravens. More so than Torrey Smith when he came on. More so than Mark Clayton, who we've had on the show numerous times. Well, one time, but a great episode since he came along. So there have been rookie receivers who've come to the Ravens. Don't get it twisted. But no one has made the impact that Zay Flowers has had. And with Lamar Jackson having that huge contract signing, with Odell Beckham having a huge contract that has really put a strain on the cap for the Ravens, and that will be talked about heavily in 2024, Rashad Bateman doesn't have room to screw around, if I'm being quite honest. And he's had trouble catching the football. We talked about it in the Steelers game. He dropped a huge grab that would have won the Ravens the game pretty much. Shifted the momentum in the Ravens' favor, but he dropped it. And drops happen. I'm not going to sit here and crucify a guy for dropping the pass. But when you're not consistently producing, especially being the number one draft pick, it's a red flag. And Bateman has all the tools. He has the height. He has speed. I mean, he doesn't have Zay Flowers speed. He doesn't have Zay Flowers speed. He doesn't have Marquise Brown speed. But he has football speed for a guy his size. He runs the route. He runs routes better than maybe anyone on the Ravens roster. And that includes Zay Flowers and OBJ. So he needs to just pull it all together. And he doesn't have the excuse of Zay Flowers. He's not a rookie. He's a veteran. And he's fighting for a contract. And if he thinks that, okay, well, you know, I'll buy my time here in Baltimore and then I'll move on, sure, but no one's going to pay you if you're not producing. And I know this isn't the offense to really get the numbers you want. I mean, even with the addition of Todd Monken, this is a run first team. Okay. Let's just call a spade right now. In week 7, this team is run first. Sorry. So that knocks it down. And that's why Marquise Brown left and went to Arizona, because he wasn't really getting the numbers that he believed he needed in order to get the contract that he wanted. But even in this realm of offense, Bateman has been underwhelming. He hasn't produced. So if you're a Ravens fan and you're watching the game, pay attention to Bateman, because I'm sure it's in the back of his mind that he has to get himself together. And not only just for the contract, but for the sake of the team. I think where Bateman goes, the offense goes. If Lamar can get another target, Mark Andrews, clearly. Well, not clearly, because Zay Flowers is looking pretty good. But as of now, I consider him to be the number one target. Then you have Zay Flowers with different gadget plays and just being a menace within the first 10 yards of the field of the line of scrimmage, I should say. If Lamar can get a surefire target on the outside, a la Bateman, to be consistent, this is what's going to take the offense to the next level. So it's imperative, if you're a Ravens fan, and if you're rooting for this team to succeed, root for Bateman. There's been some fans who are going back and forth with Bateman, and they don't really care for him as far as being a wide receiver, and that doesn't make a lick of sense to me. If you want the Ravens to succeed, then you definitely want Bateman to succeed. And on the other side, Bateman, if you really think you're going to go against the fans and win, you're not. You're not going to win that battle. So it's best to put your head down, catch touchdown passes, and the fans will follow, I guarantee it. So it's a synergistic relationship. And I think for this offense to succeed in 2023, for sure, Bateman has to improve. And we'll see if he does. And we talked about consistency with Rashad Bateman, but we really need to talk about consistency with the Baltimore Ravens offense before we move on to the Lions, because it's going to play its head in a big way down the stretch. This offense looks like it has potential, but its lack of consistency is what may doom this roster. The lack of consistency is overwhelming. I mean, you saw it in the Titans game. Sometimes it looked like the Ravens could not be stopped. And other times it seemed like they were begging to kick the football. They were begging for Justin Tucker to come out there. So whatever Monken and Lamar has to do along with John Harbaugh to get this offense going, they need to keep that in mind. There's not really a conceptual problem. Whatever Monken is designing for this team, it's working. I mean, the game plan seems to be working. They just have to execute. And with execution comes the question of consistency, and the Ravens don't have that right now. If they do, moving forward, then the Ravens will be one of the top teams in the league that I predicted. If not, I'll be in crow come January. That's my little shindig. When we get back, we'll talk all about the Detroit Lions game. Huge game. One of the best games out in week 7, especially in the early goings of the day. Ravens, Lions. We'll talk about who we think is going to win. We'll talk about the factors that I think will play a big part in deciding that outcome next on the Ravens Talk Podcast. Welcome back to the Ravens Talk Podcast. As we mentioned earlier, we're going to talk about that huge week 7 matchup, Detroit Lions versus Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens haven't been home since week 3 against the Indianapolis Colts when they suffered their first loss of the NFL season. Meanwhile, the Detroit Lions, 5-1, just got done beating the brakes off of those Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And let's just get into it because the Detroit Lions look fantastic, dangerous. I mean, if you think about it, more so dangerous than the Philadelphia Eagles, in my opinion. I still had the 49ers to be the best team in the NFC, but I think right under them, Detroit. Detroit looks great under Dan Campbell. Many fans will remember the big game where Justin Tucker hit the longest field goal in NFL history. That's what many fans will remember. But what I remember, because I was at that game, is that the Ravens once again struggled on offense, catching the ball. It's one of Greg Roman's best performances as an OC, in my opinion. But fans will remember the receivers were not able to catch the ball. Huge plays dropped, and it really put a damper on the offensive momentum. It shifted back to Detroit. They scored quickly, and it was up to the Ravens to come up with a huge drive. The Lamar Jackson manufactured it. Let's not get it twisted. And they were able to go ahead and pick up the win with a huge field goal from Justin Tucker. So what about now? The Lions are a completely different team than they were in that game. Lions fans have been very patient with their Detroit team. A lot of animosity between ownership and fandom over there in Detroit. But yeah, it's a new day. Winning cures all. And right now, the Detroit Lions are winning. Right now, they're 3-point underdogs against the Ravens. And that's pretty much an even matchup considering that the Ravens are at home in Baltimore for this game. So let's get into it. What matchups do I think that may play a factor? Well, one matchup that's obvious is the Detroit Lions run defense is one of the best in the league. Now, you got to be careful when it comes to run defense. I think every week, in some way, shape, or form, there's talk of, oh, well, this run defense is really good at stopping the run. How will the Ravens team that really sells themselves on being a run team combat that? The Ravens aren't a run team in the traditional sense. I think we all know that. They have Lamar Jackson, who's pretty much an alien, a freak of nature at the quarterback position that just tears everything apart as far as game planning goes. I mean, if you really think about it, Gus Edwards is the leading back, and he hasn't really shown much. I mean, when he's asked to produce, he does, but he's not a wild back like a Nick Chubb or a Saquon Barkley that the Lions have to worry about. But when Lamar Jackson enters the picture, it's completely different. It's a whole new can of worms to deal with. So what do you think about, what do you look for when you see a matchup like the Lions and their vaunted run defense? I think about stability. I think about execution. I think about playing your assignment, staying in your lane, doing what you're asked of, not doing more, not doing extra, not jumping at the chance of making the big play. Just follow your assignments and play tackle football if you're a defense that's going against this Ravens team. And unfortunately, well, the Ravens, that's what they have going up against them. Dan Campbell has done a masterful job of getting his run defense where it needs to be. That's why teams like Tampa Bay struggles when they play someone like the Detroit Lions, because this defense is playing great, great football. Now, luckily for the Ravens, they don't have the defense as a Cleveland Browns or a Pittsburgh Steelers, in my opinion, where they have a huge pass rush coming at you, a la the Ravens, which we'll get into. So that plays into the Ravens' hand a little bit. But make no mistake about it, the Lions are fundamentally sound. And if you think you're going to trick them into making something happen, no, sir. No, sir. Not this game. I don't believe so. Could be wrong, but I don't see it. Not at all. And let's talk about the offense, because right now the Lions are going to probably be without David Montgomery. And if Jahmyr Gibbs, their number one draft pick, doesn't really get going in this game, they're going to be one-dimensional. And against a Ravens defense like Baltimore, you cannot afford to be one-dimensional. The Ravens have, I think they're either one or two in sacks in the National Football League. That's incredible considering the injuries they've had. No David Ajabo. Dafa Elway's not back yet. They had to bring in Calvin Oy off the streets. Jadeveon Clowney was brought in after Calais Campbell left, and they haven't missed a beat. I mean, Mike McDonald, again, for Ravens fans watching this who believe that they are certain that McDonald's going to be back next year, don't hedge that bet. McDonald has played great, great, great football as far as being a coach is concerned. So be careful. We all know what happens with Ravens defensive coordinators when they get hot. They're out of there. Rex Ryan, gone. I mean, the list. I could do this all day, but we don't have the time. Point being, McDonald's playing great. I mean, being a great coach, he's coaching a masterful game, and I expect that against the Detroit Lions. But Jared Goff, who's a traditional passer, I mean, they don't have to worry about this guy scrambling and making things happen. He's a fundamentally sound quarterback. Amon St. Brown, what a phenomenal receiver this guy is. The Ravens will have their hands full of him, but they aren't able to get running backs who can produce on the Detroit side of the ball. This Ravens defense will feast. They will feast. Now, let's talk about the Ravens offense. And we talked about it pretty much the entire show, but in this game especially, the Ravens need to be able to pass the football. I can't tell you how upset I was last week. Everyone and their mother knew that the Tennessee Titans had a great run defense. Now, I mentioned it just now. The Ravens don't need to hold themselves accountable to the whim of a great run defense if they don't have fundamentally sound assigning football on the other side. But in the red zone especially, the Titans are masterful. It felt like at times that Monken or Lamar were just trying to run their heads into the brick wall, hoping to connect through the end zone like they did against the Cleveland Browns with their rushing touchdowns that Lamar had. No. Pass the ball. Throw the football. Please, please. The Ravens have a chance, a big chance, to do some damage against this Lions team. I know this Lions defense is vaunted, but the Ravens are so well equipped to attack this team, especially in the red zone. As long as the receivers catch the ball, I see no reason why the Ravens don't throw the ball on second and third down in the red zone. Enough with the running the ball on third and short. Throw the ball. It's 2023. Please. So hopefully that's the game plan for the Ravens. If not, it's gonna be a long day for the Ravens. I'm not gonna lie to you. It's gonna be a long day. So here's hoping that the Ravens do what they need to do. And the game plan is predicated especially on how the Titans defense, not the Titans, I'm sorry, the Lions defense plays them on Sunday. So let's get into it. Predictions. What do I think? Do I think the Lions at 5-1 make it 6? Do the Ravens lose their second straight home game? I got to tell you, I like the Ravens in this one. I think that the Ravens match up very well against the Lions, much to the chagrin of Lions fans. This is a huge test for the Lions. The Lions really haven't played up to the competition of the Ravens thus far. That's not to say that the Lions can't do it. If the Ravens team that showed up in Pittsburgh comes back to Baltimore, the Lions will eat them alive. But even if the Ravens play as they did in Tennessee, which isn't great, they still did something that I believe Ravens fans would enjoy, and that's take the points. I don't think the offense is rolling all cylinders enough where you're allowed to gamble in the red zone, especially against a Detroit Lions team that's looking to make a name for themselves in the National Football League. They're still hungry. Dan Campbell has these guys hungry. So take the points if you can. But I believe the Ravens will get themselves going, maybe not to the level that I believe they can be, but certainly enough to get the job done. The Detroit Lions are a great football team, but I believe the Ravens are starting to understand what type of team they are. Right now, they don't have an identity. I can't tell if they're truly a run team or not. They are a run-first team, but are they a power run team? Are they a passing team with these weapons? Who knows? You guys know where I stand on what I think they should be, but as far as what Harbaugh and the coaching staff and these players have in mind is anyone's guess in week 7. But what I do know is that the Lions do not match up well against the Ravens. The Ravens should pick up the win. If they don't, it's going to be tough because the Steelers are coming and these other guys in the AFC North are not playing around. I am still shocked that the Browns beat the San Francisco 49ers in week 6. Huge win for them. Without Deshaun Watson, what is going on in the National Football League? It should lend credence to the fact that the Ravens need to make sure that they are going headfirst into the season, not leaving anything undone, and that the Ravens get the job done on Sunday, which I think they will. When we return, we'll have final thoughts on this pivotal matchup, Week 7 game, and then we'll close things out here on the Ravens Talk Podcast. Welcome back to the Ravens Talk Podcast. As I mentioned earlier, Detroit Lions versus the Baltimore Ravens. I think the Ravens get the job done. But if they're not consistent with the football on offense, it could be a long day. That Ravens defense is mounted and has kept them in a lot of games, but how much longer can their defense stay afloat? They need the help of that offense, and I think this will be a great test for both the offense and defense. If they can stay consistent, stay ready, attack the defense, even when it seems like it shouldn't be the case, where you think like, you know, maybe I should just run it off and punt the ball and give my team field position. No. Attack. You're at home. You just lost to the Indianapolis Colts in Week 3. The fans are hungry to see their team in action. Attack the football field. You have one of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League in Lamar Jackson. Don't be scared. Attack. And hopefully they pick up the win against the Detroit Lions. We're going to close things out here shortly. I want to mention one thing. Our buddies here in Las Vegas, Brand Athletics, a great, great, great gym that just got started off. If you're a young athlete or you're a parent to a young child who's has football aspirations or any sport for that matter, head over to Brand Athletics. They're a great, great friend for the podcast. You'll find them on Instagram at Brand Athletics LV. Go to them. Check them out. They have lots and lots of specials right now just to bring some attention to the Las Vegas area. $5, I've heard, at some point for this promotion. Check them out. Lovely, lovely, lovely staff. One of the GMs there is actually a former UNLV safety, Trey Kane. One of the best safeties that I've seen in the college football scene for sure. Actually played receiver at Colgate. He's heading out the operation, really getting those guys, those young kids and adults in football shape. That's going to do it for us here at the Ravens Talk Podcast. Join us on Instagram. Instagram is blowing up. We're nearing 6,000 followers in over 2.5 months. That's huge. Twitter right now at Ravens Talk Pod. We're closing to 4,000 followers. Go over on YouTube. Subscribe there. The podcast is growing big time. Apple Podcasts, Spotify. We're all over. But Instagram especially is going larger and larger, and soon we're going to be giving out promotions and free giveaways, and I'm only giving those to people who have subscribed and followed those main channels. So make sure you go out there and do that. It's going to do it for us here at the Ravens Talk Podcast. Ravens, Lions, Week 7. If the Ravens were to pick up this win, it would go a long way in determining who's the alpha male, and not only the AFC North, but the AFC as a whole. The Chiefs have been struggling a little bit. I mentioned that they're going to get their act together soon, but this win will go a long way in making a name for themselves in the National Football League. We'll see you next week.